This morning we start a four-part series that we're called Looking Back, Looking Forward. And it's a little different this year. Usually it's a two-part series. I expanded it to four parts so we could think about it for ourselves and for the church as a whole and as a community. Today we're going to begin thinking about our own lives as we look back over 2013. But before jumping into that, I want to pray for us, but specifically I want to pray for a couple groups or people right now. One is there's a group from our church that's actually gone to visit another Vineyard church called Mid Peninsula Vineyard. And if you know, there's a Vineyard church that's up in San Carlos. It has been struggling for a couple years without a pastor. The good news is they invited someone to become the pastor and they said yes. And so that new pastor's coming in January, but they wanted a little help with preaching. And so Philippa Perkin, one of our members, is there preaching today. And a number of people have gone with her to do prayer ministry at the church. So I want to pray for them, that would be a really good time. And two, I want to pray for the youth and the junior high and the high schoolers. My wife's actually in there teaching today on special needs children and how to partner and how to even care for them in our church and actually to invite them into participating in caring for them in our church. And I think that's pretty cool. And so I want to pray for them this morning as well. So, and for us. So would you join me as I pray? God, I thank you that you are at work all over this world this morning. You're present to everyone who calls out to you, and even to those who aren't. You're seeking to press into their lives, to reveal yourself, to demonstrate your goodness. And I'm thankful right now that you're there at Mid Peninsula Vineyard, and you are bringing new leadership and new life to that church. We pray particularly this morning that you bless Phil as she preaches, and all of those who've gone to pray for people there, that you would speak to them and give them words, that you would make a way for that new pastor, that you would bring healing and restoration as they start a new chapter in their life. And Jesus, we pray for our own youth. We pray for them as they have their worlds expanded to consider what it's like for children who aren't developing typically, who have special needs. And God, we pray that that would expand their heart and grow their compassion for people around them. We even welcome and pray for those that would even help and partner and mentor, hang out with those in the church who are like that and struggle and wrestle with things that maybe others don't. God, we ask that you'd be present with us here this morning as we look back on this past year. I ask even now you'd be stirring the pot of our memories and of our experience and bringing to light the things that you want us to think about, that you want us to reflect on from this past year. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, let me begin by asking you all a couple questions. First question, who here, if you have a choice between looking back and thinking about what's happened in the past or looking forward, who here prefers looking back and thinking about the things that have happened? Raise your hands high. This is not a shame-oriented question. I won't shame you. Raise your hands high. Okay, I don't see any. Okay, how many of you prefer... Okay, Seth, thanks, buddy. Way to have my back. All right, how many of you prefer looking forward? Interesting. Okay, look around. I just want you to know almost... And no one raised their hands for looking back, and almost everyone raised their hands for looking forward. Well, or those that were able. So, now why is that? Why is that? I think that's the first question that we need to embrace. I realize that for some of us here, looking back is not an enjoyable or motivational act. And I think we need to start by asking why. And I think the answer to that question is really important, that that's even a part of looking back, is even before we start, even before you jump into thinking about all the things that happened in this past year, to ask yourself, why am I not motivated to do this? Or what are the challenges to doing this? Or why would I rather just think and skip forward to next Sunday when we start thinking about looking forward? Let me suggest that there's at least three things that why we could be asking ourselves this, or we should be asking ourselves why. Is it because, part of me wonders, we have to ask ourselves, do we not want to look back because we don't want to be reminded of things that didn't go well, or mistakes that we made, or things that are unresolved? Are there things that maybe you feel like you can't change now and you don't even want to think about that? Unfortunately, if those are true for you and keep you from remembering or reflecting on what happened this past year, then you rob yourself of the opportunity to both see how God was present in those things and what he was doing and is doing, even if it is not completed now. It is a temptation to feel like if something didn't go the way we wanted, or it didn't turn out, or it isn't resolved, that God was not present in that. But that is not true. God was there and in the midst of that. And maybe the truth is we don't understand yet how he was there or what he was doing in that moment. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. But the second thing I wanted to mention is, especially if this year was hard for you, if you were a person for whom 2013 was a difficult year, we need to be willing to say that they were hard and create some space for God to meet us in this. I think what we saw that when I asked you to raise your hands is that it's natural for all of us to want to move on. Don't you find that? I mean, you go see a bad movie, you have a bad meal, you have a bad anything, you just go, let's move on, right? It's a phrase, let's move on. Let's just keep moving forward. Yet there are going to be critical life lessons for each of us in the moments from this last year. Perhaps you've heard the quote, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Some of you may have even heard the song, right? It's that Kelly Clarkson, right? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Very happy beat, right? So I always thought that was funny. Yeah, no, I ain't going to sing it, though, you know. But, right? But it's funny that whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger is only true if you actually reflect on what almost killed you. If you go through something that almost kills you, but then you just immediately move on, that does not necessarily bring you any more wisdom or any more insight or any more perspective, right? I've seen people go through really hard things that almost killed them and come out deeply bitter and deeply bothered and really bummed at God. They did not come out stronger. They came out defeated. So what's the difference between going through something that almost kills you or that's very difficult and being defeated and being stronger? I would argue it's reflection. It's perspective. It's what we're talking about this morning. It's learning from it and seeing what God was doing and how he was in it. For those of us who follow Jesus, it's the process of reflecting and looking back and thinking about our lives is only going to be made complete or be beneficial to us if we actually engage with God about what was going on there. When you lost your job, when a pregnancy did not go to term, when a relationship failed, when something happened, even good things, when you got that promotion, when there was a birth, when there was something wonderful that happened in your life, what is it that God was doing in that? That these contain important lessons, important things for us to build on and to grow from. I don't know if you're old enough yet or have come to a point in your life where you can start naming years that were the hardest year of your life. That didn't happen for me until probably I hit about 30. And then I started to like rank them. You know, like, this was the hardest year of my life, and oh, that's two, and that's, you know. And you realize, but what's significant about those years is when I've gone back and I've said, here's why they were hard, here's what I learned from that, this is what I experienced, but then these are the things that I understand now that God was saying to me that I take lessons from those, I'm applying to my life now. Well, we don't get those just by osmosis. We don't get those just by turning the calendar and starting a new year. We get those because we create some intentional time to reflect on it. Third, and especially for those who had a pretty good 2013, it's going to be likely to just go, hey, that was a pretty good year. Let's move on, right? Let's go, 2014. Here's the irony, right? You can see in both 2 and 3, if the past is hard, we want to move on. And if the past is good, we're tempted to move on. Right? Like, have you ever prayed for something and really wanted something to happen? And then it happens. And then you're like got a buzz off that for a while, right? You're happy. You're excited that thing happened. Then what happens? Do you remain in that for like weeks and months? No. You almost as quickly as possible move on to the next need, right? You go, okay, check. You know, that was good. But now there's new concerns that you have. You see, the temptation for us, whether the past was good or bad, will be to just by default move on and look at the future. The future holds potential and happiness and new things and breakthrough. Whereas the past, we have to look at what's already happened. And that can be scary. In general, we're about the future. The country's about the future. We live in the most future-oriented part of the country, probably. I mean, let's face it. What's our motto in this country? It's the American dream. Nobody wakes up and goes, I want the American past. Right? You know, I mean, that's what people are thinking about, longing for. And I think it's true of our relationship with God, that we're future-oriented. And I think God is future-oriented. He's leading us someplace, and we're actually going someplace. But we miss out on so much of what he's doing in our lives if we fail to reflect on what has come before. Let me give you an example from Jesus' own life. The end of Jesus' life, many of us know, he's crucified, he's buried, he rises again, and then he comes back to his disciples after a few days, and he visits them. And he gives them what is the last verse in at least one biography of his, in one gospel. And this is what he says to his followers. He says, now even the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he says, go and develop. He says, gives them three tasks that are external and one task that is internal. He says, go and develop other students the way I have developed you. And then he says, go and baptize them in my name, in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. And then finally he says, oh yeah, and remember that I am with you always. Now, if he calls them to remember that he is with you always, when you remember something, if you were one of his followers and you were to remember that he was with you, what are you going to remember? Are you going to remember a static image, just like a picture of his face? You know, like all the paintings we've seen maybe in churches, you know, it's like, right? You know, these guys got to hang out for 3 years with the living Jesus. They got to see him raise people from the dead, feed thousands of people, do all sorts of miraculous things. When they remember that Jesus is with them, they're remembering a dynamic history. They're remembering something that he did that they witnessed and saw with their own eyes. And this is going to be really critical for them because Jesus is no longer going to be with them in the flesh. As a matter of fact, they're going to come into really difficult situations. Some of them we've experienced. They're going to walk up and they're going to see somebody who's sick lying in front of them and they're going to go, what do I do? And they're going to remember Jesus. And they're going to remember what Jesus did. And they're going to pray for them. And they're going to remember. And they're going to be encouraged because they saw Jesus do it. And they're going to know how to do it because they saw Jesus do it. Remembering is a very dynamic, active thing. And our own lives are something that Jesus calls us to remember and reflect on. Because in the course of our own lives, for as long as we have followed Jesus, there is evidence and there are pictures there of God's faithfulness and goodness and presence to us that he wants us to remember. I don't know how many of you have moments like that. There are certainly huge moments and little moments. I have huge moments in my life where when I'm struggling to believe that God is good, I can go back to these huge moments and they really help me. Some of them were recent, others could be 10, 15 years in the past. Times where you undeniably remember that God was present and good to you. These are incredibly powerful experiences and tools for us as we try to follow Jesus. And I would suggest that these memories, remembering that he's present, is going to be the very thing that enables them to do the other three things that he told them to do. Remembering that Jesus is with them, is present in power, is going to help them to obey, to follow through. When you think about things you hear now or things that Jesus may be asking you to do, What helps you to obey, to respond to Jesus as the teacher? What helps you say yes to him? If you think about your own life and you think about times where you've said yes to him and have experienced his goodness or faithfulness, does that not encourage you and help you say yes to him again? The implication of this is that those who choose to remember are going to make better and more faithful decisions because they're thinking about and they're pondering Jesus' presence in their life and their memory and remembrance of what he has done for them up to this point because of what they recall about God's work in their lives. I believe the same is true for us today. And of course, we should all do this all the time, but we all find it's pretty difficult. It's kind of hard in the fast-paced life where, even by this afternoon, you're going to be thinking about things for this week, right? You know, last week we talked about there's an opportunity for us to try to grow in this. We're trying a little experiment in the church. There's this thing we've got called After Sunday. If you turn to page 6 in your program, you'll see at the top that there's a notice for After Sunday. What After Sunday is, it's one of the members of our church, a guy named James Cham, came up with this idea, and he and I sort of threw it around, and now he's listening to the sermon, and then he's preparing 5 little 1-2 paragraph things that will be sent to you every day and will remind you of some part of the service from the previous Sunday. It's so cool. It's like you're going about your day, and then boom, this interjection, this injection of what happened on Sunday comes into your life, and you can take a minute there and go, oh yeah, what about that? That may spur you to take a longer time to reflect or think, or it may just remind you of something you experienced while you were here on Sunday morning. If you want to sign up for that, the site or how to do that is in the program right there. I encourage you to sign up for it. You can break out your phone right now, punch it in, sign up. I think this is what we're trying to do is figure out a way to help us continue to remember, even to remember what God is doing on a Sunday morning and how to see that take root and have flourish in our lives. I don't know, maybe why we do this right here, and you know, even though reflection is always good, is because this is the time of year where everyone seems to be doing it. You know, Christmas is barely over before every radio station starts to play the top 100, right, of the previous year, or of the last decade, or of the last millennium, or whatever, you know. And now every show, and you know on TV, every retrospective is going to be the year, every newspaper we're getting is the year of 2013. Even Facebook has gone on the bandwagon. If you've seen my note, and I thought it was pretty interesting, Facebook has this little thing called Your Life in 2013. Has anyone here seen the tab or clicked on it? Not really? You should check it out. What it does is it goes and it lists your top 20 posts on Facebook. So it's kind of interesting because it says whatever got most traffic, got most responded to, or you were tagged in or something, the top 20 are listed there. You get to see Facebook's perspective on your life in 2013. That's kind of interesting. It makes sense that if we want to grow and develop in our spiritual lives, we're going to have to mine and reflect and put some energy into thinking about our past. And this is as good a time as any to do it. So I want to give 3 specific reasons to motivate us to do that today. And then I'm going to give us some time to do it. Cool? Okay. Number 1, remembering creates gratefulness. In preparation for this sermon, I did 3 things that helped me reflect. The first is I go through the questions that you'll notice on the insert in a few minutes. I'm going to give you some time to reflect on the insert in your program. There are questions. These are pretty much the same questions we use every year. Why do I do that? Because my hope is that you will either take this paper or you will get it digitally when we send it out on Tuesday or whatever. You will reflect on this. You will keep it and then you will come back to it the next year. The thing I hope for is that in 10 or 15 years, you've got something in a folder or on your hard drive or somewhere that you can reflect on and you can come back to, and it can even help you remember what happened in a given year, what God was doing in your life, how God answered prayer, that we become a community that's committed to remembering and we've got the document to keep going back to. So I hope that you'll use this. And so I go back and I look at You know, I look back how I answered this in 2012. And then I answer it again for 2013. And we'll do the same next week for looking forward. The second thing I do is I went over my reflections from my monthly days of prayer. I'm able to, and I intended to take one full day of prayer, and that's, I invite the staff team and they come with me once a month to go and pray. And I always start it the same way. I spend time looking over the past month and looking at just where I've been, because most of the time I've forgotten almost all of what I've done. If you ever sit down and think about it and try to name without looking at another device where you've been the last month, it is hard work. And so I do that, and then I just spend time listing things that I'm thankful for. And it is an amazing exercise. I find that almost right there I could stop. Because after listing the things that I'm thankful for, many of which are things that I listed as concerns from the previous month. Do you notice that there's so many times we have prayers and we list them down, but we never go back. We just keep moving forward. Sometimes we know they're answered and sometimes we don't. Well, I list them all on that given prayer day. I go back the next month, I realize half of them I have completely forgotten about. But then I write down every way I saw God work in each of those instances. What do you think it does for me, and what would it do for you if you had a list of concerns and you were able to write down and see that God had worked in almost all of them? What does that do for your faith and for your trust and your hope in God? I will tell you, for me, it's huge, and it gives me motivation and inspiration for the days ahead. Third and finally, what I do is I go to my calendar and I go through and I just see if there's anything I missed from that. And I take, as you know, about an hour to do that. And maybe you don't have an hour. You don't have to have an hour to do it. Take 10 minutes. Take 5 minutes. Just do it. And spend some time and see if you've missed anything. Like many of us, once some big issue was resolved or a decision made, I just moved on to the new challenges of the day. And I just have no... It's so hard to capture how much gratefulness is a value in fighting the fight of faith, to be thankful and aware of the things that God is doing. So that's number one, that remembering creates gratefulness. Two, remembering creates perspective. Perspective is a point of view. It's the way you perceive the experience of the past. Everyone has a perspective, right? And you have a different perspective on something in the moment when something is happening than you do 10 days later, right? You ever been really mad? Ever had a big fight with somebody? Your perspective at that moment is skewed, right? You think terrible, you think really extreme things. This will never work out. This is terrible. You wait, maybe you simmer down, right? You know, things relax a little bit. You go, okay, that was unpleasant. Now we need to do something about that, right? You have a different perspective. Oftentimes, if things get unresolved or we don't spend time thinking about them, we don't increase. We don't get clarity or better perspective on things. We certainly do not get better perspective on ourselves. And like many of you, I got a lot going on in my life. And what I realized this fall is that doing this kind of reflection, it was very easy to forget what you have accomplished or done in a given year. I was amazed. I remember doing this last year. And our staff team sat down and we looked and we realized that we had done like over 20 things that were first time things for our church. And we had sort of lost touch with that. Now, very differently this year, I realized we didn't have as many things like that. But I realized, I felt as I look back over the whole year, do you ever find the experience you look back and you go, yeah, these, you're very aware of sort of the negative things or some difficult things. But then I look back over the whole year and I realized this has really been a good year. I would have walked away without doing that saying 2013 was kind of a hard year. But I realized in looking at it, the new perspective I had was it was a good year because it was pretty solid. It was stable. It had some differences in it. But sometimes stable, solid, it doesn't look very exciting. So maybe you think that's a bad year. But I think it was a good year for me. I know that for me, seeing that this year was this stable or, and I don't mean just, it meant for me personally, that it was super encouraging. It was super encouraging that not every year is going to feel super stressful, or it doesn't have to. Not every year has to be filled with tension or relational drama. Not every year has to have a humongous transition that tires you. You know, some years will and some years won't. But it gave me the perspective that God is in all of them. No matter who we are and what situation we're in, we can almost always use better perspective. And a key way to get that perspective is to sit down and take the time to reflect on what has happened to you during the year. Now, if you really want to get even better perspective on that, is you take those reflections and then you share them with another person. Because as we all know, our own perspective is our own perspective. And it doesn't necessarily make it right. It's just our perspective. And sometimes people can really help you out. So you can think about that. The third thing I want to say is remembering gives us hope. Looking back and remembering what has happened in the past 6 months or year gives you hope. It gives you hope because you see the bigger picture of what's going on. You may be right now in the midst of something that is incredibly draining and tiring and exhausting, right? I know for me, having small children, that was true, right? At points, it was just like, I'm just living day to day. It's hard to get the big picture. You know what I mean? You're living in the small picture. Feeding, pooping, sleeping. That's the small picture. But there's still a big picture of life that's going on in that situation. Remembering allows me to look back and see the number of challenges I was wrestling with and how God was at work in that. Now let me be clear. Remembering does not always mean remembering good things. This last year obviously involved some kind of difficulty or suffering for all of us. Sometimes remembering will involve looking at difficult times in our lives, but by the grace of God, it will allow us to see how God was present. Maybe we will need to even take steps to go to soaking prayer and have some people pray for us that an unresolved event in our lives, that we could see more how God was present there and have that perspective and hope and move on from there. So it is going to take effort. I think what we need most when we realize that the last year was difficult is hope. We need hope that situations will change. I have to be honest, there are things that I have said year after year for at least 4 or 5 years now that I have not seen change in, and I carry them with me from year to year. They're still there. Others have changed, but there's still some I'm carrying. There are still some that are unresolved. I have a relationship like that right now that's unresolved at this point. Even though I've taken all the steps I know how to take, I don't know what to do next. And I don't know what's going to happen. And what I need is hope. And you know what gives me hope is in further reflections, I look on another relationship that I have that has had tension and it's doing much better. And I look at that and that gives me hope for the other situation that I'm in. It paid off to do the reflection because it gave me the hope and the encouragement for situations that I haven't seen come to resolution. Well, I hope these things will be motivation. Maybe you have other motivations that work for you. But the most important thing is that we actually do it. And if you are like me, the biggest challenge will be to create the space to actually take the time to reflect. Right? So here we are on Sunday, New Year's Day is Wednesday, right? Maybe you're going to have a big New Year's Eve party. Maybe you're going to watch football games, whatever. But I want to encourage you now to think about carving out some space to actually tangibly put it in the calendar where you are going to sit down and reflect on these questions or your journal or your calendar. And where, if you want, you might even add sharing some of those reflections with someone close to you. And to do that this week, before the year fully launches in all its momentum. The first thing we've done to try to help with that process for us is to create a few questions, or I would say lenses, by which to look through the last year. If you take out that insert, you'll see what those lenses are. These are not, you can use whatever questions you want. These are the questions we've suggested. And these questions are meant to stir the pot, to get you thinking. Now first, before you think about these questions, when I give some remembering time, and I'm going to give us actual time in the service in a few minutes. We're going to put on a little music, right? You're going to relax, and you're going to start thinking about these questions. Let me encourage you to not go right away to your journal or your digital device or whatever. And let me encourage you to use just this morning as whatever pops to your head, whatever sort of comes to the surface. Because, you know, you're going to have some immediate reactions to things. And let's see what those are this morning as you look at these questions. Second, third, without looking at your journal, see what's impacted you most. And then intentionally set aside some time. I want to have you notice, look on the back of the sheet. If you look on the back, we've done something a little different this year. We've created 12 squares with the months of 2013. This is like, right, a calendar. The objective here would be to go back and think through the months and ask yourself, what happened in that month? What big thing sticks out for you? Maybe there won't be anything. Maybe they'll go, wow, I can't even remember January at all. Well, that'd be good to go back to your calendar, because I'm sure something happened in January. I'm pretty sure you didn't sleep the whole month. So there's something there. But perhaps you're going to be able to identify the really big things that happened in your year. The positive things and maybe the hard things. And put those in these boxes. And maybe they'd be things that you could come back to. The key here again is that sometime this week, you create some time to actually do this. Perhaps sometime this night, instead of watching TV, just doing it. Perhaps this can take the place of a date night if you're married or have a significant other. Perhaps you could take a question a day and you could think about it while you're driving to work or pushing your kids around or you're at school. Perhaps you can get together with a few friends, people you've known for a while, and talk about this, or your small group. Susan and I do this every year. We reflect and share with each other what are our answers to this question. Perhaps those of you that are highly extroverted, and either you know or your friends are introverted or you're married to an introvert, you can get together with some other extroverts and go out to lunch and just talk for a long time, right? And the introverts can go away and just think about it until they really are clear on what their experience from the year, and then they'll share with you, right? So we can appreciate and work with each other's dynamics. But the point is, it's most likely going to actually happen if you create a spot for it to happen. We all know what happens when it says, hey, this is really good, I should do that. It will not happen. It will happen if you do it. So, let me just give you about 7 minutes, for those of you that want to know how long this interminable silence will go on. It's going to be 7 minutes. Does everyone have a pen? Who needs a pen? Raise your hand if you do not have a pen, but you would like a pen. Ah, well done. And I'm just going to give you some time to go through the questions, go through the calendar. And if you get stuck there, then bust out your digital device or your paper calendar and start to reflect more deeply. Cool? Let's go. Okay, I hope that was a reasonable start. I wanted to let you know that apparently the link that's in the program, did anyone here try that this morning to after Sunday? Did it work for you? It did. Okay. It didn't work for some. So if it didn't work for you, try this. Because someone alerted me that it didn't work and you want to sign up for after Sunday, this would be the way to do it. Well, I hope that this was a good start. I hope that this was a beginning. I hope that you find that you could take more time to do this and that you will find that space. And just so you know, on Tuesday's email, again, I'll be putting this out digitally. If you want that template beforehand, all you have to do is email me. It's in the program. and I'll send it to you, and then you can do it digitally if that's what you prefer. But I really hope that we can reap the benefits of this as individuals and as a church, as we learn to remember and as we grow in being grateful, in having perspective, and having hope for what God's doing in our lives.